If my co-host here doesn't play David Bowie as the last song, I want you all to personally persecute her.
Cool.
Over the phone.
Awesome.
That number
wow.
is 540-231-9888.
Remember the time that you had a panic attack on air because you couldn't remember the phone number for the station?
It's been a great semester of
that was
shows.
So fun. And it's literally written right there.
Yeah,
and
well, we will see
it's
you
okay.
next semester.
Yeah, see you next semester.
Bye.
I wanna move really slow. And while I dance, can I tell you about control?
Thank you. flashing light. I'm blinded by it.
You can change the future of computing by joining the Association for Women in Computing, which meets every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. in McBride 110. For more information, you can contact Marina at marinaki@vt.edu.
But when the ads go, I think about it now. In my infliction, stuck in the waterfall. The songs of dust, the world would end. The night was always falling. The peacock in the snow. And I tell myself, I don't know who I am. And I tell myself, I don't know who I am. My father ran the prison. My father ran the prison. I can only love you by hating him more. That's not the truth. It's too big a world. He believed that love is theft. Love and war. The theft of love. And I tell myself, I don't know who I am. And I tell myself, I don't know who I am. My father ran the prison. My father and the prison. But I am a seer. I am a liar. I am a seer. But I am a liar. My father ran the prison. My father ran the prison.
I'll be sure to do my work for the fuck. I get up, I did it for the fuck, I'm a hard one. Welcome to the WUVT Sports Roundup here on this last Sunday of the semester. I'm Brady Hess. Here with me is
Andrew Alex,
Matthew Atkins,
Kyle Cook,
and Josh Henry.
And we are going to ramble on about some sports here for the next 45 minutes or so. First, we're going to start off over in tech sports. We've not been on in a little while. But the Hokies were able to defeat UVA for the 12th straight year in the Battle of the Commonwealth. Guys, what did you think last week and when the Hokies beat the Hoos in something that's starting to become has been a thing for quite a while?
I thought this was going to be the year they were going to blow it. I thought for sure going into the fourth quarter we were going to lose. I almost turned the TV off, even though it was a close game. But I guess UVA does what they do best and just blew it.
Wow, cold words. I'll admit I was scared actually going back in the last week, or the weekend before, when against North Carolina we had that fantastic comeback, and then of course it ended up going awry in overtime. And so I was just kind of scared. It's like, oh man, it's like a bad omen to the end of the Beamer era. But at the same time, I mean, hey, all we do is beat UVA, guys, so we might as well keep the trend going.
Yeah, just like you guys, I was worried all game. But then that interception right at the end of the game that really sealed it, that was just a huge sigh of relief, and I was like, all right, we got this.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That interception, you know, you're thinking, what if we lose this game? Because that would, like you said, be such a bad omen towards this Beamer era, just to end it on losing the UVA streak and losing the bowl streak possibly in the same game. But that interception was kind of just this beautiful icing on the cake send-off for Beamer that, you know, he was going to go out and he was going to keep his UVA streak and keep his bowl streak with him. It's very impressive, very good game.
Like you guys said, I, for one, too, I was kind of edgy there at the end. Like, I told my dad after we were leaving the stadium, I was like, I didn't think we were going to lose, but I didn't think we were going to win. Yeah. If that makes any sense at all, I was like, I had this just uneasy feeling, but it's always a good day to beat UVA. And looking forward to this bowl possibility, all signs are pointing to possibly the Belk Bowl. If it's not the Belk Bowl, I'm going to be really surprised. But 23 years going to a bowl consecutively, that is quite an accomplishment. I know the past 3 or 4 years haven't been really the best years in Hokie football, but not losing seasons for that fact. But it's also saying that the Hokies might get a shot at Dak Prescott and Mississippi State, which I think is could be a bad omen,
yeah,
too.
So yeah, that's he'll run for like 800 yards.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and we have struggled against the running quarterback all year. So Prescott is probably one of the best at that in the entire country.
Yeah, or Matt Johns, you know. He averaged like 20 yards a carry somehow.
Yeah, somehow Matt Johns. But he did get lit up on the sideline.
He was satisfying. Like juking inbounds, and Greg was like, well, okay, like, this is
if this is
fair,
what you want,
yeah.
If this is what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get out of bounds, you better get out of bounds in a hurry.
And Greg didn't even, like, stare at him. He, like, hit him and, like, walked away. He's like, and then Mike London, like, lost his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He also lost his job.
Yeah, I was going to say, he lost his job.
End of the Beamer era, also end of the Mike London era. And the London era, a little bit less spectacular over there in Charlottesville, minus that 1 year where I believe they played Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Bowl it was, but we still beat them that year when we were like ranked like number 4 in the country.
Yeah, 38-0.
Winner went to the ACC Championship, and we're like, okay.
Speaking of the end of errors, Monday it was announced that Justin Fuente will be the new head coach here at Virginia Tech, taking over for Frank Beamer. He comes in from Memphis, did a good job resurrecting a Memphis program that was 5-31 the three seasons before Fuente got there, and if Memphis wins the bowl game, Fuente will have led Memphis to back-to-back 10-win seasons. Going into it, I was looking at the possibilities, and I wanted Mark Richt, honestly, to come to Blacksburg. But I read about Fuente, and the more I read about him and the more I listened to him talk, the more I liked him. And he's kept Bud Foster on staff, and they are retaining Torian Gray and Charlie Wiles on a great defensive staff. And you think Virginia Tech football over the past, what, decade, 20 years, and it's just been like a defensive-minded program. And now we have this guy who's from the Midwest. He was the offensive coordinator for TCU when Andy Dalton was there. And it's an offensive mind. And you look at the Tech offense, and I believe we have the athletes to run a good offense that Fuente wants to bring to the table.
Yeah, I think that was a great hire. But I think even maybe more importantly was that they kept some guys around. You mentioned Wiles, Foster, even Shane Beamer staying, because I thought Bud Foster was gone if he wasn't going to get the job, I wouldn't have blamed him. But I think you get that offensive minded coach with Fuente, but you keep Bud Foster, who, and you also keep part of that like tradition, which I think is important. So I think it was a great hire and great that Babcock and Fuente convinced Foster to stay.
Yeah, I really wanted Fuente to end up being the coach, and I was happy when they announced that. And you look at what he did at Memphis. He took them from 2-10 to 10-3 in just three seasons. They beat Ole Miss this year. And also last year, they beat BYU in a bowl game, and BYU's coach is now UVA's coach. So I like that.
Yeah, and they got in that insane brawl, too. So it's funny that the next time they match up, it'll be like an actual rivalry game, not Memphis BYU, which for some reason was heated.
I think, though, the Bud Foster saying aspect of it once again kind of speaks to this place that people who come here and coach here just become so dedicated to the school, to the community. Like you guys said, Bud Foster has every reason and right that in not getting the head coaching job, you know, get on out of here. He spent his time, but he's so committed to this program that he's willing to stay in that defensive coordinator role, even if not under Frank Beamer. And I think bringing in Fuente and his offensive, you know, mind is going to mix it up, kind of keeping the good and, you know, adding with new aspect with Justin Fuente. And I kind of like the work he did going back to his offensive coordinator days at TCU, working with Andy Dalton and leading them to a Rose Bowl victory. I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Well, if you look at the two things that Tech has struggled with in, like, recent years, it was offense and recruiting, which are like the Fuente's two biggest claims to fame. So I think it was a great hire.
I'm just looking forward to spreading the ball around offensively. Like, I'm so tired of wide receiver screens and short runs that go nowhere because our offensive line isn't the most talented in the nation by any means. But I just, like, spread the ball around. Like, let's move to the modern era of football. It's passing wins games. We have Motley who played pretty well. Wow. Can't believe I forgot his name.
Lawson.
Okay, Michael thank Brewer. You. Yeah, I was saying Brewer. Actually, I know Brewer's not coming back, yeah. But we got Lawson. I hear he's got a big arm. That is correct.
And he can fly.
Yeah. So why not get an offense? Like, let's just spread the ball around the kid. Like, why not?
And would you think Motley already has his degree from Tech, has another year of eligibility after this year? Would you think that he would transfer out and take that year of eligibility elsewhere? I mean, he's not Russell Wilson by any means,
right.
But
yeah, okay.
New face, maybe you want to bring in Lawson to start with the Fuente era.
Well, they burned Lawson's redshirt for basically no reason, so
absolutely.
I don't think that was. I think it would be foolish to let him sit out another year. I mean, let him play.
I mean, the kid's very highly touted, but talking about spreading the ball out and stuff, I'm excited to just see what Isaiah Ford's statistics are going to look like when we start doing that, because in this wide receiver screen, like, run the ball offense, he still, I think he actually did break the single season Hokie touchdown record.
Yeah,
or
he did. 10.
That's 10, yeah.
If he gets, I think it's like 63 yards in the bowl game, he'll be the first Tech receiver to break 1,000,
yeah.
Which I'm surprised that's never happened before.
Wow, too. Yeah, that's just shocking.
But
again, defense, everybody.
Eddie Roy.
Yeah.
But if Trayvon, he only has to run for not that much, and he also will get 1,000 yards rushing. So I think that'll be the first 1,000-yard combo if they both do that.
Yeah, and it's the like you said, it's the first 1,000-yard receiver in school history, and it's the first time Tech will have a running back over 1,000 yards since 2011 when David Wilson was here. And you think of all the running backs that have been here over the years, and not to have a 1,000-yard rusher since 2011 is kind of silly.
Yeah, but, and Trayvon's not even he started playing running back this year. Give him, a few years at the position, he's going to be so good.
Yeah,
he already is good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He was a high school quarterback. He was a high school quarterback. He was, went to the high school down the street from mine. He just ran all over the place. He was basically a running back. But
Fuente's bringing in some assistants with him, James Chabest and Holman Wiggins. And it is not official, but it's reported that Memphis's offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach Brad Cornelison, will be the next offensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. Holman Wiggins, I think, is a good ad. I've just read over his Twitter, and he just seems like he's happy to be here. So I like that guy.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that about Fuente, too, that he wasn't, when he came into the press conference and even when he spoke at the basketball game, he wasn't this is the greatest opportunity ever. He wasn't, overly jazzed about it. He was yep, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up, and I'm ready to win some games, which I think is kind of the attitude we need. You don't need this, emotional attachment to Blacksburg like Beamer had for so long. I want somebody who's going to win.
One of the things I like about Fuente is you said he's bringing his offensive coordinator here. So I think that'll be good. That Memphis's offense only allowed 15 sacks this season. Our offense allowed 34. So if we could work on our offensive line a little bit and get that better, I think we could have a good shot next year.
But yeah, I mean, it's also, like you said, speaking to Fuente's character, how he's all business. I didn't really want... I mean, I don't even know who it would have been. Maybe Rich Rodriguez was the only name to come to mind, but I didn't want some, flashy dude coming in with all this attention. Because Rich Rodriguez, he did that at Michigan, and he ran his mouth, and, that ended up working out not so well in Ann Arbor. Of course, he has turned it around at University of Arizona. But I think Fuente coming in, just, it's all about football, and that's what we need right now.
It absolutely is. Moving forward, though, from Hokie football, Hokie hoops have started up. Johnny Hamilton is suspended because of his grades, according to Buzz Williams, which I think Hamilton had the potential to be the best 7-footer on this team, even though it's just him or Satchel Pierce.
Almost and Blackshear, right?
Blackshear, yeah.
Shane's not? He's not 7-footer?
No, he's
only 6'10".
Yeah.
Only.
Darn.
Yeah, but... Tech basketball, 5-3 right now, should honestly be 7-1. I mean, with just one loss to Iowa State, but they lost to Alabama State. We talked about that way back when. They lost to Northwestern in a game that I thought we were honestly going to win. It went into overtime, and the first play of overtime off the tip, Hudson goes in for a slam. And I'm like, there's no way that we lose this game. And then Joey Van Zegeren and the Northwestern Wildcats win the game. But they beat Arkansas Pine Bluff team. Yeah, just awful. Yeah.
We were up like 30-2 at one point or something.
Yeah,
like
I think
that.
It was 30-5.
Yeah, exactly. They looked like a high school team out there.
There's always going to be games on the schedule where you play teams that it's a school you've never heard of, and you're going to be up by 20 in 5 minutes. Like, you kind of just, as a fan, you sit back, you relax, you kind of take the victory, and you prepare for whatever your next big competition is, which for us is basically anyone in the ACC at this point.
Or Radford. Radford's our next team, and they're not bad. They're probably going to be favored. I would not be surprised if they were favored.
They've beat Penn State and Georgetown already this year, and if they were to beat Virginia Tech for the second straight year and go on to win the Big South, they would definitely, I think, have a pretty strong tournament resume.
Yeah.
Thinking about Radford beating Georgetown, I saw that Georgetown team play live. I saw them play Duke at Madison Square Garden over Thanksgiving break, and they gave Duke a run for their money, and Duke can hang out with just about anyone. So if Radford's beating that team, if Virginia Tech sleeps on them, they're going to get crushed. I mean, they got to really not take this team lightly. Big South, Big East, ACC, whatever. Like, you got to go 110% every day.
And this game is at Radford. I think this is at the doing of James Johnson, the best head coach. He signed a home-and-home with Radford. So not every day you're going to see an ACC team going to play a Big South team. But I'll tell you guys what has surprised me, and it just might be me, is the performance of Zach Ledet throughout the season.
Yeah.
I thought that the news coming in, which he has done well, it would be Seth Allen all over the place. But I didn't really have that high expectations for Ledet. And Ledet has had, I believe I counted last night, 5 double-doubles already. And the only Tech hasn't had a player to have more than 4 double-doubles in a long time. So, Ledet
was 15-10 last night.
Yes, he's doing a very good job. Although he didn't play that much in the Northwestern game, I was kind of surprised to see that. He looked like he was forcing some things, and Buzz just got him out. But you got to think, Ledet, he's had 15, 20 most nights. If he plays the majority of the game against Northwestern, what kind of difference would that have made?
Yeah, he's had 13-plus in every single game but the Northwestern game, where, like you said, he played limited minutes, only got 17 minutes in that game. And, only had 2 points in that Northwestern game. But outside of that, you got every game's over 13 points, and then you got 2 games with 26 points. So he's definitely impressing, because like you were saying, I was all about Seth Allen. That was the big-time transfer, but kind of shows that what that full year of working in the system but not being able to play when you sit out in that transfer, Buzz Williams must have worked on stuff with him that's really brought his game to another level than what he was playing at USF.
Well, I think what's been special about Ledet is that he's technically sound, is what it looks like at the moment. He's not the biggest guy I've ever seen on a basketball court by any means, but he takes big men down low very easily. His post game is not the strongest, but it looks good. And he has good footwork around the basket, especially. Hence why he has all the rebounds.
Mm-hmm. You know, my buddy was saying to me when we were watching the game, because he was a big-time basketball player in high school, more of a defensive-minded guy, and he goes, watch Zach Ledet play defense, and keep in mind this was against Arkansas Pine Bluff. But he's like, it's just beautiful how technically sound, like you said, he is. With everything he does, he kind of does it to the book. He plays 110%, you know, both sides of the floor. Definitely a good addition for Virginia Tech.
You can change the future of computing by joining the Association for Women in Computing, which meets every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. in McBride 110. For more information, you can contact Marina at marinakai@vt.edu. But, go ahead.
Did you guys go to the Northwestern game?
I did go to the Northwestern game.
Speaking of Seth Allen, though, that was fun to watch for a while there. He was just pulling up, and he was feeling it. But I've also been really, and Buzz said it after the Arkansas Pine Bluff game, that Jalen Hudson, he was like, he's the best player on the team when he tries.
Yeah.
So, but I love how transparent Buzz is with his opinions of the players, and I really do agree that Jalen Hudson is, he's like the one guy that like really tries to dunk, which I like. Like, he goes up there and like tries to contest people at the rim. Right. He tries to contest people at the rim, which I think is so exciting, because the rest of the team, and they're good at it, but they just get fouled all the time. We lead the nation in attempted free throws, and that's kind of boring basketball.
And we've not made a good majority of them.
No, yeah, we're not good at them.
It was funny yesterday, we're with the lack of people in attendance at Castle, you hear buzz every time somebody was at the foul line, make your foul shots.
But, if only it were that easy.
Oh, yeah.
They did pretty well yesterday, though. I think they shot like 75%.
Speaking of buzz, talking about players, did you guys hear him in the press conference? It was addressed, a reporter asked him, they said, how do you feel about going against former player Joey Van Zegeren? Did you have any feeling about that whatsoever? And his response was, none. Just one word, none. Move on to the next question. So Buzz just tells it like it is. But going forward, one more thing to touch on in Hokie sports is the women's basketball team goes to take on a 8th-ranked Tennessee team in Knoxville today. The Hokies coming out pretty good so far on the season. They are 6-1 on the year, and actually that women's basketball game, Tennessee is only up 3 at the half, 25-22. What a big win that would be for the Hokies if they could go down and beat, honestly, the greatest women's college basketball program ever.
Yeah, they're really good this year.
They are good.
They're 6-1, and it's not like they've had a cake schedule. I mean, they've had some easy teams, but they're beating them like they should, too. And their only loss was to Georgetown, good program. But, they, I mean, they beat Penn State handily and crushed George Mason and then all their other games against cake schools they just ran away with. So they could be, I mean, a loss to Tennessee wouldn't be the end of the world, but they have a pretty easy-looking schedule, and by the time they get to ACC play, they could be on, like, a national scale, I think.
Well, the biggest improvement for them this year has been the three ball. Mm-hmm. It's been treating them well. I know in George Mason, that game alone, they set a record for threes in a game. And basically it's their biggest weapon, and we can only hope that they use it against Tennessee today. That would be a pretty incredible win. I mean, Tennessee has always been a top 10, top 5 team in the nation, so we will hope. We've got our fingers crossed here.
And especially with that score at halftime, only a 3-point deficit in favor of Tennessee. Moving forward from Hokie sports, college football yesterday. Everybody's talking college football today. Today is bowl selection day. But first, we will go over what happened yesterday. First off, Texas upset Baylor yesterday. Second upset for the Longhorns. Baylor has fell off since their quarterback has went down with the injury.
Such a what could have been season for Baylor. Absolutely. They were on their fourth string quarterback in this game. Absolutely. And they were like good with their third string. Oh, like goodness. That's how good their offense is.
Oh, absolutely.
But for Texas, I'm happy for them to get this win, because it seems like recently all these powerhouse programs like Michigan, USC, Texas, they have all just kind of fallen off. And now Charlie Strong in his second year, he beats Oklahoma, beats Baylor. I think that's going to be enough to keep him around for another year and really give them time to do something to turn Texas around, make them relevant again.
And rightfully so, because, I mean, you need to have a little bit of time. I mean, I know that Texas is a big-time program, and Strong's only been there, what, this is his second year?
Yeah.
But you need more time than 2 years to turn the place around. But Texas started yesterday. Tyrone Swoops was their quarterback, and he's not been their starter since week one or week two, so that was pretty impressive yesterday. Moving to the ACC championship game, Clemson beat UNC in a controversial kind of finish there. The ACC refs have been the talk of the morning again. But do you guys think, what do you guys think about the game? And do you think that Deshaun Watson cemented his name on a Heisman Trophy yesterday?
I don't think, I've never been comfortable like putting a game on one play, especially an onside kick when you were already losing. But I think they do. I don't know why that's not reviewable, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, everything else is reviewable. They can take as much time as they want, but something that would take, like, 10 seconds to look at, everybody could tell after just seeing it on their TV real quick. I don't know why they don't review that. But, no, I don't think that play matters that much, honestly. I think Clemson, obviously, was going to win.
Oh, yeah.
And but to answer your question, I do think Watson, this is going to be a tight Heisman race, and not because everybody's just so good, but I think everybody's just so close to each other. Because you got that guy at Stanford. He's not in the playoff, which Watson is, but yeah, McCaffrey. And he caught a touchdown pass, rushed for a touchdown, and threw one yesterday.
Do you guys know, did he break Barry Sanders'
record?
Did.
He did.
Most all-purpose yards in a season?
Right. Sanders did that in 11 games, though.
True. Side note. So yeah, side note that we got to mention. Barry Sanders, pretty great.
Yeah.
But also you have to, Derrick Henry also has the most rushing yards in SEC history
he's
in a single season.
90 carries the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know how he can run anymore.
I mean, I did say earlier that, or last show that I was on, that the last couple of weeks are really like definitive in like who gets the Heisman. Your performance when everyone is watching, all the voters are watching, kind of the smaller field is set, and Deshaun Watson has rose to the occasion in that, but it, like you said, it's also Derrick Henry has too. Like 90 carries is he is a workhorse, and like I said, he's shattering records. That guy is, and just the way you watch him run, it's like when he sometimes when he gets the ball, he like starts off in this first gear and then shifts right into second, and he'll truck over these SEC linebackers who are like some of the best defensive players in the country.
Future first round picks
look like houses. Yeah, literally. Right to tackle you.
Who would you guys vote for?
Henry.
McCaffrey.
I think Watson, too.
I'm just tired of quarterbacks winning. I'd probably give it to Henry.
And, you know, back to the Clemson game, I think it's really good that they did win, because if they had lost, I would not want to be their punter. Ooh. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking there. And, Dabo Swinney was not happy.
Yeah. Well, UNC also tried to fake one, too. Yeah. That didn't work, either.
Didn't UNC try to fake one against us, or was that Virginia?
It was Virginia, okay. And they got pretty close.
Yeah.
It was like 4th and 17.
But it was an exciting game to watch. I think it was the first time that in the history of the ACC championship, the two teams were in the top 10. So that's good for the ACC. Going to the Alabama over Florida game, I was glad to see Alabama beat Florida. I just don't like Florida. Anybody else, I'm rooting against Alabama.
Did you see Florida's stats on field goal kicking? Their starter was like 4 for 15 to start the year.
Oh my goodness!
Really?
Yeah, and then wasn't their starter anymore. It's a new guy, but he like their special teams was so bad. They got a punt blocked for a safety to start the scoring of that game. They muffed a punt later, and then they got a field goal blocked like right before the half. Just a desolate. I don't know how they're 18th with horrible special teams.
Well, they actually held open tryouts for their kicker halfway through the season. They had 216 people come out and try out to be their kicker.
That's atrocious.
Probably 208 of those people were just like, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Why not? I played soccer.
Just
in
for like
school.
The picture to post on Facebook. Yeah. I tried out to be.
I'll try it out for Florida today.
I don't think that people put enough into how much special teams can derail a championship hope, because obviously in college, you're not going to find the best kickers in the nation and all these things, but at the same time, it's still like just having a game plan that actually works on special teams is so incredibly important. Like if you're giving up return touchdowns every week, or you're the leading off a game with a punt block and stuff like that, like that's so bad. It can really hurt. Even if you have, like, the best offense in the nation or the best defense in the nation, like, it can just cripple a team.
I mean, offense and defense sometimes in these big, two teams in the top 10 playing each other, they can be pretty stalemate even. And we've seen time and time again, and you have to think about the kick six as the number one example of this. Special teams can be the difference in the biggest of games on the biggest stage and can decide national championships or playoff spots. It's
if you look back to, like, even the LSU-Alabama from, what was it, like, 2011?
The 9-6 game?
Yeah. Like, special teams was so important in that game because they weren't just punt after punt. So, I mean, if you mess up once, that's the game. That's
absolutely.
But what do you guys think of the top four right now? It's Clemson, Alabama, Michigan State, Oklahoma. I think that's the four I would have picked.
I think they got it right.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
Do you guys have anybody disagree?
Michigan State in the three spot?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it. I just wish that Iowa had beat Michigan State and they would have been in the top four.
I was hoping UNC would win. I was really pulling for them just because I would have liked to see what happens.